when you hear seductive guitar music, when you smell the saffron and seafood being cooked up in massive bowls of paella, and when you bump into a colony of sunburned Brits baking on the beach, you know you're in the deep south of Spain. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, travel experts from Spain guide us into the classic region of Andalusia. And a journalist shares with us what he's chronicled about the day-to-day realities for soldiers in the U.S. military while assigned to Iraq and Afghanistan. But first, 2 million visitors a year are putting a real stress on the Inca Trail around Cusco and Machu Picchu. But for an alternative that offers you an honest feel for contemporary and pre-Columbian indigenous cultures in Peru, Lonely Planet writer Carolina Miranda joins us right now to recommend an alternative scene she's found in the rarely visited north of the country. Carolina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell us about the tourist crowd situation, the big picture in Peru, where everybody generally goes and where they might go if they want to enjoy the same Inca magic without the congestion.
Well, I think most tourists head for the south because that's where the popular sites of Cusco and Machu Picchu are. That's also where Lake Titicaca is, and they often go to check out the lake. And as a result, you've ended up with a very sort of crowded tourist infrastructure. I mean, you cannot walk around the plaza in Cusco without getting solicited for a tour or a sweater or, you know, any number of tourist services. And Peru is a big country with an amazing number of cultures and settlements and ruins. And I always recommend that if maybe you've already seen Machu Picchu or you prefer an uncrowded experience, is to head north.
And where north?
Well, specifically, the area around Chachapoyas in the northern highlands. And the way you get there is most folks fly into the northern coastal city of Chiclayo and then take a bus up into the mountains. And what you have in Chachapoyas is almost a city that maybe was like Cusco in the 1980s. You have a trickle of travelers that come through, but it's still very much an agricultural center, the type of village where families stroll through the town plaza in the evenings, where the kids go to play ball, where the mutts still sleep in the streets and families live with their front doors open. It's a very picturesque little town, and it happens to lie near some magnificent pre-Columbian ruins built by the Chachapoya people, which were later conquered by the Incas. And there's the cloud forest citadel of Cuelap, and there's this astonishing burial site of Carajia that all lie as part of a day trip from the village.
And you write in your Lonely Planet Guide to Peru, one of the tallest waterfalls in the world.
Yes, the Cataracta de Gocta is another day trip from Chachapoyas. Most people either do it hiking or on a horseback ride. And once you've heard the thunderous rush of that water, I don't think there's anything that sounds quite as loud or as impressive
as
now,
that. This sounds like a real, what I would call a back door. You've got a charming town that provides
yes.
enough infrastructure and then several world-class sites within easy striking distance of that home base. And all of the tourist crowds are heading down to Machu Picchu.
Exactly. I mean, I was there just last year. And the hotel infrastructure has really improved in recent years. It just so happens that this was a site that sort of started to come into its own just in the 1990s, where the road was paved to the area. Peruvian presidents started coming to visit. Peruvians started to visit. Hmm. Tourists from other parts of South America are sort of popping in to check it out. So it's really one of those destinations that's emerging. And as a result, it just feels very, very unspoiled. Like, this is not the kind of place where you're going to find a Starbucks on the town plaza.
And you wrote kind of comically, at night, there's very little to do. It's pretty humble and small. And you just sit in a little, like a 7-Eleven store and have a guava liqueur. Or what did you...
Exactly. One of the highlights of Chachapoyas is they're very into these homemade liqueurs with local fruits. Chachapoyas lies right near the Amazon. So the fruit selection around there is magnificent. So you can sit in these little stores that they look like convenience stores slash bars slash liquor stores. Like, you could buy a 6-pack of toilet paper and have a shot of guava liqueur or chirimoya, which is the Andean custard apple liqueur, and then stroll around the town plaza and hang out with the families. But usually most of the stuff you're doing during the day is so active that I found myself going to bed pretty early at night.
Is it dark, or are there street lamps, or what's it like?
Oh, yeah.
Dark?
I mean, we're talking about a pretty developed little town. It's got a good hotel infrastructure. There's a number of restaurants, very good restaurants, in fact. cooking in that part of the country is very delicious, and internet cafes, the little liquor stores, a couple of bars. It's got enough there to keep you entertained in the evenings,
now,
that's for
the,
sure.
What's the sort of museum and the teaching situation like? I know when you're going to, you know, some ancient site in Italy or Greece, they'll have a wonderful mm-hmm. museum both in the capital city and at the actual ancient site. You wrote about some pretty impressive museums, some modern museums, in this rather remote corner of Peru.
Oh, yeah. Near Chachapoyas is the little village of Laymabamba. And Laymabamba is a charming two-block Andean town where you literally still see the horses tied up to the signposts. They have a wonderful museum that was partially built with money by the Belgian government that houses a number of Chachapoya relics, as well as a whole storehouse of Chachapoya mummies from a nearby ruined site by a lake that was excavated. Again, a surprisingly modern, well-installed, beautifully built museum in a Spanish-style adobe building with some incredible, incredible pieces in this tiny little village. Hmm.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Carolina Miranda, and she's one of the lead researchers and writers for the Lonely Planet guidebook to Peru. Carolina, you mentioned the fortress at Culap. Describe that to me. It sounds fascinating.
Well, this is one of the most fantastic finds in Peruvian archaeology. They've really just started excavating it seriously in the last 20 years. Folks have always known that there was something there, but it's only in the last 20 years that they've discovered that it was a whole citadel occupying the entire top of a mountain, actually a cloud forest peak in the northern Andes, that was built probably by the Chachapoyas people between 8 and 900 AD. They're a pre-Inca culture, and then the site was later occupied by the Incas as well. And it's made out of this kind of yellowy sandstone, and there was only one entrance to the complex, and it's this very sort of dramatic, very tall but very narrow trapezoidal door that you have to walk through to get in. And then from there, it's a sprawling compound of hundreds of roundhouses. The Chachapoyas built their homes round. Most of the cultures in Peru built square homes, but these are all of these like circular dwellings. And then in the middle of them, a ceremonial sort of astronomical point that looks like an inverted ink pot. It really is this very sort of surreal architecture, again, all located right on the crest of a mountain. So you have fantastic views no matter where you look.
And that's spelled K-U-E-L-A-P?
Mm-hmm. Quelap.
You've referred to it as a fortress, but it sounds like it has a religious element to it.
Well, there is a little bit of mystery as to what exactly this site was. It is most certainly built like a fortification, and its defenses are very strong. It only has that one very narrow entrance, but it housed a whole city of people. I mean, there are buildings for every type of use, be it dwellings or religious use. So now archaeologists think that it was probably more than simply a military fortress, but on first impact, it definitely feels and looks like a fortress.
Now, altitude is a concern when people are visiting Cusco and Machu Picchu. What are the altitude concerns for Chachapoyas?
This is similar. I mean, we're talking about places in the Andes that are anywhere from 8 to 10 to 11,000 feet in altitude. I believe Quelap is at about 11,000 feet, which is at the same height as Cusco. So whenever people get to these areas, I always recommend just take the first day to do nothing. That's really the best, and eat light.
And is there an optimal time of year for visiting this part of Peru?
I think the best time to go is in the fall, probably September, October, before the rainy season starts. This area is highly agricultural, so everybody's out planting. There's like a lot of activity going on, but the roads are still dry, which is a boon when you're visiting. Like the area, the burial site of Carajia, you have to reach via dirt road. So it's definitely better to go in the dry season.
Now I would imagine when you go to Machu Picchu, you'll encounter a lot of tour groups, whereas when you go to Chachapoyas, would it be more individual travelers and like Europeans out roughing it? I mean, what kind of travelers do you see at Chachapoyas?
Couples, some backpackers, and Peruvian families. That's who you find at Chachapoyas. And then folks to the mid-range. I mean, there are some cute little B&Bs and hotels now in Chachapoyas. So you don't have to totally rough it to go there. So you're seeing a combination of people, but mostly independent travelers.
And how's the cost? I mean, it costs a fair amount to fly there, but once you've arrived in Peru and you get to Chachapoyas, you're not going to be a youth hostler. You want to stay in a nice little guest house or B&B and eat well by local standards. What are you going to pay for your bed and for a meal?
Oh, it's actually Chachapoyas compared to southern Peru, which is very touristy, is a deal. You can get great little B&Bs in the $50 to $70 range a night. And I'm talking about like large, nice rooms with beautiful art and hearty breakfasts located around mm-hmm. Spanish courtyards. Mm. I mean, I'm talking about really scenic, picturesque places. And you're going to eat well. And usually, I mean, I don't think we spent, I went with my husband, I don't think we spent more than $20 for good, delicious meals in the area. So it's definitely, if you want to travel Peru on a budget, this is this is a good place to do it and remain comfortable because Cusco's gotten very pricey.
And, you know, everybody will know to see the fortress or the, you know, Machu Picchu or whatever great pre-Columbian site they're looking at. But I would think a dimension that really will impact how beautiful and memorable and successful your trip is how well you connect with Peruvian culture. Let's just close this little discussion about some highlights of Peru by tips from the guidebook author herself on how to connect with Peruvian culture.
I think my favorite way to connect with Peruvian culture is to find where the local market is and just wander around and either have lunch there or talk to the stall owners, buy a piece of cheese or a piece of fruit. I don't think there's any more innately Peruvian experience than going to the market and doing some shopping. And that's where you're going to see all of the local people. It's where you're going to meet folks that live in the surrounding areas of a town and come into the village to sell. And you're also going to get to know a wide variety of fruits and foods and treats and candies and see people selling CDs of local bands. The market is the beating heart of every Peruvian town.
And if I go through the market, what's the most important couple of words I should know in the local language?
Me da buen precio, which is, will you give me a good price?
Say that again.
Me da buen precio.
Me da buen precio.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I say goodbye?
Adios.
Adios. I can remember that one. All right. Carolina Miranda, thanks so much for a little help on how we may better appreciate and enjoy Peru.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll take a close look at the deep south of Spain in just a bit. Up next, public radio journalist Jake Warga tells us what he's observed about day-to-day life in a war zone with American soldiers. Life Inside the Green Zone is next on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-7425. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.